Hello.
Okay, I was sitting in the preview room and I didn't hit the join button.
Okay. Well, now you have. And you're somewhere again, aren't you?
We came for a beach holiday. Unfortunately, it's rained all day.
Yeah, I saw your Facebook post. Shall we just jump in? Okay, here it goes. Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Saturday, March 23rd, 2024. It's just after 3 UTC as we're starting to record. I'm Sam Minter. Yvonne Bo is here again. Hello, Yvonne.
Hello.
And just to get it right out there, the agenda is as usual. We're going to do, but first at the beginning, I will have a movie. Yvonne will have something else out as I just hit my hand on something. I'm like gesticulating wildly with my hands and like my left hand just smacked something. Anyway, then after the but first, we will have more serious topics or more newsy topics. I shouldn't even say serious. They might not be serious, but they're related to current events, whereas our but first usually isn't.
They might be serious, but I'm probably for sure I'll say something not serious about them.
Okay, yes. So anyway, as I said, I'm still catching up on movies and books and TV and stuff. So I'm going to have a movie. Do you want to start, Yvonne, with something non-movie or should I jump out there with my movie?
I mentioned this to Sam, so I'm not at home. You probably tell from the audio.
Because he still hasn't found his microphone. Yep.
I haven't found a microphone. Good news is the internet here is a lot better in Indiana. Okay.
Good, good.
We came not too far. We drove to Naples, Florida, which is basically about 2 hours from my house. The school spring break was out. Let's go to the beach for a few days. Look, I know that I saw our friend Jay in Chicago post a picture from Chicago where he was done with the snow because they had a big snowstorm. So my problem has been that it's 60 something degrees, okay, and rainy. Look,
Whereas I'm like 60 something and raining. That's like perfect. That's how you want it all the time.
Yeah, I know. And the thing is that. And this is one of the unpredictable. Listen, when you go for a trip somewhere, sometimes bad weather happens. Okay, you can't. You know, it's especially if you're going to go out to the beach, you can't. Like, you know, the weather is unpredictable. Look, this isn't as bad as a long time ago. I remember we went to Jamaica. Okay, this 1 week, and. We a hurricane came through, okay?
Nice.
A real hurricane, not, you know,
not one of those cheap ass fake hurricanes.
Not you know, you got the little bit of wind and whatever to graze by. No, we got it.
You're talking like it's not a category one, even. It's not a tropical storm. It's like a cat three or four or something.
No, it was cat one, cat two, but the eye came.
Ah, okay.
So we got hit. That's one thing.
So you got nailed by it. You didn't get the outskirts. You got nailed right with it.
Sometimes, yeah, you get a cat three going by, went far away, you got nothing. Now, this puppy had sustained winds of about 100 miles an hour, and it barreled right through. Okay? And basically, we spent 3 or 4 days, you know, two days in a ballroom. Okay? Basically, just bunkered in for the storm. This is not that case. Okay. You know, so that's not the issue here. But you know, it's a little bit like, you know, you came out for the beach. Well, thankfully we found that there's like a mini arcade on premise and we did that. I don't know, just did some stuff, but not what we came for. The other thing is that I had not intended to come to this hotel. Okay.
Okay.
I had actually had planned to book a hotel that was a little bit further south on Marco Island. And I came to this hotel that I'm not going to name names. Okay. But the one thing is it's stuffier than the other hotel. Okay.
Stuffier.
Yes. It's a little bit more frou-frou.
Oh, okay. So you don't mean like the air is musty and stuff like that.
No.
Just mean like more uptight a little bit.
Yes. Okay. And it's not where we intended to go. I was going to book another hotel. When I went to book it, it got sold out. And I was like, oh, shit. I'm like, now what? And the one thing that I think that really got us pissed off tonight is I've traveled and I've been in Hawaii, the Caribbean, everywhere. I don't know. Everywhere. Okay? And now, post-pandemic, people are dressing so much more casual than ever.
Okay. Even in your frou-frou hotel?
Even in every frou-frou hotel. I mean, but even before the pandemic. I mean, if you went to a Caribbean resort, you know, as long as you weren't coming in your bathing suit, they were fine. Okay?
Right. Yeah.
You know, they don't want you in a tank top of the bathing suit for dinner, but you wear some nice shorts, a nice shirt, you know, polo shirt, it's fine or whatever. They would not accept us to take a reservation because they would not accept jeans at the steakhouse.
Oh, okay.
And I did not bring anything more than you know, more dressed than jeans.
I'm very, very close to not even owning pants that aren't jeans. I think I have like one or two.
No, I still have a bunch.
I know you have lots of that stuff. You dress up more than I do, but like here on the West Coast, like the number of occasions where I choose to wear something that's not jeans is maybe once or twice a year.
But the thing is,
I'd be completely out of luck.
But here's the other thing. The problem today with that is because the weather is bad, most of the casual places to eat here were outdoors. They're outdoor venues. And so all of a sudden I'm like, okay, great. Well, I can't go to the casual place to eat. I go to the steakhouse and the steakhouse says that they won't allow you to go in. So, needless to say, I am not recommending it.
So, what did you end up doing? Did you like
the room? Well, there is room service. Okay. All right. And so, and we did. Okay. So on the plus side, somehow, you know, this is so weird because on the downside, we have had these issues. Okay. And there's some other issue. On the plus side, they gave us an upgrade to a room that they usually never with this chain, they never, I've rarely gotten upgrades. Okay. Or their upgrade is, oh, we'll have it's the same room, but it just has a better view. Like, right. Come on, give me a fucking break. Okay. You know, hey, you're looking at nicer trees. I'm like, okay, it's not really an upgrade. Okay. But whatever. All right. You know, so, but this time they gave us a room upgrade to a room that, I mean, I just booked a room that was like two beds, you know, it's two queen beds, bathroom, that's it. But they put us in a suite that is a two bedroom suite. Okay.
Okay.
I mean, it's 1300 square feet. It's massive. Okay. And so, but that's not usual. So, okay. On the plus side, that, but everything else has been just, I can't get into the steakhouse. They fucked up some other stuff. I'm just like, you know, and I was just like, it just basic stuff. And I'm just like, you know, and I was just like, yeah, whatever. I'm like, you know, and honestly, the rest of the stuff I'm going to let slide. The thing that pissed me off is, you know, we wanted to go get a damn dinner at the restaurant and we couldn't get into the fucking restaurant.
I can see why everyone's cranky after that.
Yes. Okay. So, yeah. So that's, you know.
Was the room service at least decent?
I will say that's the plus side. The spectacular for room service. I did get a steak sent up, and because we have this upgraded room, there is a dining room table and stuff that we could sit down to eat. And the steak was actually spectacular.
Okay. There you go. Was the steak from the steakhouse that you would have eaten at?
I'm sure that they probably source the same beef, but it's not from the same steakhouse because they usually have like different, like Daenerys.
Okay.
I'm sure that it was of a quality you would have gotten at the steakhouse. So on that plus side, but we wanted to get out, you know, go to the restaurant, you know, and so we couldn't because apparently we're not frou-frou enough. And so I was just like, fuck, Jesus Christ, fuck these people. I'm just like, I'm never coming back to the fucking place again.
Beautiful. Beautiful. You know, I think I have the right selection of like never traveling. Just always stay home.
It is nice to get like, you know, get usually better attention. Okay. You know, I mean, well, there is one thing. Look, I, and this is something that is an issue. This hotel had closed for a long time for renovations and they opened a few months ago. And this is something I spoke about. A CEO of a hotel chain was talking about this, how, man, it's really hard when you lose all those people and to bring them back and to get everybody back at the same level of service, that it's just very difficult. Okay. And so I get that part in terms of the, people stuff. That's why I'm not even bringing that up or even want to say that. That part I get. Okay. All right. You know, all of a sudden getting the people back into a rhythm is difficult, but no jeans, the fucking restaurant, fuck all of you. Okay. All right. You know, I'm sorry. You know, that's just complete bullshit. Give me a fucking steakhouse, my fucking jeans. Bad shoes.
Oh, good for you. You know? Good.
I mean, not sneakers. I had like shoes.
Ah, yeah. So, you had good shoes.
Right. Okay. It's just, you know, fucking idiots. Jesus. Anyway. All right.
You should have tried really, you know, a full suit, except only socks.
It would have been something, you know. Yeah. No shoes. There you go. Show up with a suit. So I'm sure that there's probably some way, some stupid way that I could show up with like some pants, but some ridiculous, the puffy shirt. There's that episode. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I remember puffy shirt on Seinfeld, whatever. Right now.
Yeah.
I was never a regular Seinfeld watcher, but I know the reference and I've seen clips.
Yes.
What I was going to say though, like the other solution to your jeans problem, I mean, they usually say no shirt, no shoes, no service. They say nothing about pants. Just take the pants off.
That would have been something. Yes, I would have been. I'm sure that my wife probably would not have been happy with that attempt. You know, so I don't think I would have improved the mood in the with that. Needless to say, hopefully tomorrow it says
you could have just been like, no jeans allowed, no jeans allowed. Do I hear you right? Okay, I'm taking them off.
I decided not to look. I called. I contacted them before we showed up because all of a sudden, I looked. I pulled up a list of the places, and I see that. I see that it says cocktail attire, and I'm like, cocktail attire. I'm like, what the fuck does that mean? And then when they contacted me, well, it's really formal attire. I'm like, formal attire? What the hell am I wearing? A fucking tuxedo in this goddamn restaurant? What the hell are we doing? You know? And then I just specifically asked, hey, look, listen, stop the fucking shit. I got jeans. Can you let me into the jeans? No, sir. I'm like, okay, fine. So I just left it at that.
Beautiful.
I just didn't look. Obviously, whoever the employer was telling me this, it's not their fault. They didn't put together this policy. So why am I going to rip apart the
right
poor employee?
Right.
That, you know, that makes no sense. Yeah,
you can leave an angry review online.
I'm not even going to do that either. I don't think it's fair at this point. But I will send a letter directly to them, but not you know, I because of some of the stuff, because some of the stuff is just not cool what happened. I will say, look, I mean, in lieu of like doing an online review, which just doesn't seem fair, these are the things that I just did, you know, not cool to specifically point out. I'm like, you know, people come on vacation, they're not, you know, we're not coming, like, you know. And I think it's just this whole thing about post-pandemic, far more casual, man. I mean, look, the how people are dressed up in general, is so down after the pandemic, okay? That it's like, you know, it's like, give me that shit. No, it's just, anyway. All right, I beat the horse to death. Okay, all right, Sam, what's your movie?
Okay.
Is it Howard the Duck?
No. You got a long time to wait for Howard the Duck. You will have forgotten about Howard the Duck by the time I get to it.
Well, I may be dead, but at the same time, the other thing, it was funny. I don't know if I mentioned the fact that, you know, so we're making fun of Howard the Duck last week, and it came up in Sam's rotation. So now he's watched. So congratulations.
I feel honored.
You're so blessed. So what is on tap for this week?
What is really on tap for this week is once again from the 1998 American Film Institute 100 years, 100 movies list. Now up to number 23 on that list. It dropped to number 31 in their 2007 re-release, but it was number 23 in 1998.
Still pretty high.
The Maltese Falcon from 1941.
Oh, wow. You watched The Maltese Falcon. I'm pretty sure I've not watched The Maltese Falcon. Yeah, we talked about last week, Raging Bull. I've not watched Raging Bull. I gotta watch these fucking movies.
Okay. Yes. I will say, right up front answer, I give this a thumbs up. I did enjoy this movie. I liked it. It's Humphrey Bogart as Sam Spade, the famous detective. That's like, there are a whole bunch of books, as I once again knocked something over with my, you know, as I'm talking, like I'm gesticulating wildly. Cause I just did.
You're doing this a very Trumpian way. Like, right, yeah, now.
Yeah, I know.
And we need to get you an accordion.
I keep hitting things and whatever, but yeah. Anyway, Sam Spade was in, I guess there's a series of books, there's several movies, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, The Maltese Falcon is one of them. I mentioned it's a 1941 movie. And it's sort of a mystery sort of thing. I mean, basically...
1941. So I was saying it's like...
1941. So it's still pre-World War II. Mm-hmm. Basically, he's a private eye. Someone comes, she's looking for her missing sister, and she, who supposedly came to the city with another person, he agrees to go look for her, but he had a partner in the agency, but his partner gets killed, and then hijinks ensue. Like what I just said was the first 5 to 10 minutes of the movie. So no spoilers for this. Yeah, what is it? 41? How many decades old is that? 80?
Yeah, about 80 years old. Yes,
83 years, I believe it would be.
Yeah.
If I am doing my mathing correctly,
the mathing.
Anyway, hijinks ensue. There's a whole bunch of people who are after the titular Maltese Falcon, which is like a little statue that supposedly has, it's like worth lots of money and is like gold inside or something. It's, I guess it's supposed to be solid gold maybe, but I forget the details. Look, whatever. It's supposed to be highly, highly valuable. And all of these people are after it. And there's a whole bunch of, you know, throughout the whole thing, everybody's clearly scheming in one way or another, but you don't quite know who's doing what and whose angle is what, and it eventually all works out. And of course the title character, you know, this is not a real spoiler. The title character, of course, sort of comes out on top in terms of how everything works out. But it was a good movie. It deserves its reputation. I mean, it's clearly that, you know, late 30s, early 40s kind of the style of movies from between World War I and World War II. And so that might not be for everybody, but it holds up. I mean, it captures your attention and you care about what's going on. It is somewhat like what I mean by the style of movies of that era. It's somewhat stylized, right? Like you're not watching it feeling like, oh my, this is really realistic. And I believe these people, like I could walk in. These are real people. You never think they're really real people. They're sort of, they're clearly characters and caricatures in a certain way, but that doesn't stop it from being interesting and good, you know?
Okay. So I'm looking at, in terms of critical acclaim,
yeah.
And this is a thing about this on Wikipedia.
It was a hit right away.
Following a preview in September 1941, Variety called it one of the best examples of actionful and suspenseful melodramatic storytelling in cinematic form. Here's even more praise, realizing that Maltese Falcon holds an approval rating of 99% based on 106 reviews and an average rating of 9.2 out of 10.
Yeah, that's on Rotten Tomatoes. Yep.
Yeah, on Rotten Tomatoes. And, I mean, on Metacritic, the film has an average score of 97 out of 100 based on 15 critics, indicating universal acclaim. I mean, it really, you know, it's interesting how we talk about sometimes certain movies, you know, and certain things not holding up, but it definitely from your watching of it, and when you read the reviews of when it came out and what the current opinion is, and you having watched it now, and you're like, damn it, it's good. Okay. This is, I mean, definitely it deserves the fact that it's one of the films that got put in the, by the Library of Congress in the National Film Registry as culturally and historically or aesthetically significant, you know, so it was one of the 25 films selected for that. So I guess it, based on you just watching it and saying, damn, it's good, it makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, and the word they, in part of what you read, you said, you know, melodramatic, and that's the right word. That's, you know, that's sort of what I was getting at in terms of it being stylized, and you they're not like,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Not like real characters. They're clearly caricatures, but it's still, yeah, that doesn't stop it from being good. In fact, I think if you like tried to make this sort of a modernistic, make everything completely realistic and make it so that you believed these were truly real people, it wouldn't be as good.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know? And you know, and like I said, you have to kind of have some sort of affinity for that style of movie. If you hate that style, you're obviously not going to like this, but you know, it was fun. You know, it was, I enjoyed it. It kept my attention, et cetera, et cetera, you know, and I think it deserves the good ratings. You know, is it, like, I don't rewatch anything, so it's not really meaningful for me to say I'm not going to watch this every year or something. Seeing it once...
Well, what are you talking about? You rewatched Back to the Future?
Yes, I have rewatched things, but usually at least a few years apart. And
30 years later.
Yeah, yeah. And oftentimes, like, you know, one of... Yeah, oftentimes, like, at least recently, like, some of the movies that I've rewatched, I've been specifically rewatching it because I want to see it with my kid, you know, like I remember it from when I was younger and I'm like, you know, it would be fun to watch it with Alex, you know, as opposed to like, oh, I desperately just want to see this again, you know, which I usually don't do, with a few exceptions, I guess, but like, but yes, I'm not going to be watching this all the time, but I'm glad I watched it. And it's interesting because this is one of the things that you like, this is one of the movies that is sort of culturally well known, like, oh, the Maltese Falcon. Everyone's heard of the Maltese Falcon, yep. But I'd never yep. This was my first time watching it. I had never watched the movie. I did not really know what it was about. I did not know any of the details other than, oh yeah, this is a famous movie and there's a Falcon in it, you know? And I did know that the Falcon was a statue, you know, but I didn't know more than that. And so it's good to fill in that gap in my cultural knowledge.
So it wasn't an animal.
It wasn't an actual animal.
It wasn't a live Falcon from Malta.
No.
That would have made it probably more interesting. It would have been a real live Falcon. Malta.
Yes, no, it was, well, and it was like, it was supposedly, let's see if I can get this right. I'm going to say it anyway. Like, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Because I'm scanning up and down the Wikipedia page to say, am I remembering right? It was the Maltese Falcon because it was like the Knights of Malta brought it home from the Crusades as okay. like a treasure from the Crusades. And it had been bopping around through various owners through the centuries and been hidden. And, you know, it was worth lots of money, but also maybe it had some mystical things behind it, but like that wasn't a big part of it. It was mainly like a bunch of people were after the money, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, gee, kind of like the money that you're hiding from us, right?
Oh yes. Yes.
Because you're Jeff Bezos. You know, I mean, you're just like Jeff Bezos.
I am just like Jeff Bezos. Right. Yes, exactly. Oh, I should probably check my lottery ticket actually, but you know,
that would be nice.
It's worth like $1 billion, right?
I mean, yeah. I mean, if we were recording a podcast and we get to announce people that you won a jackpot, or maybe we don't want to put it on the podcast. Who knows?
Let me scan my ticket. Here's my ticket. Let me get the app out.
Let's find out if Sam is a billionaire.
Yep. Because I'm sure I am, right?
I mean, yeah. I mean, according to people, you should be.
This is how it works, right? Like, you know,
We got suspenseful. It's suspenseful.
Checking ticket.
We got the suspense.
Sorry, this is a non-winning ticket.
It's a non-winning ticket. Oh,
it's a non-winning darn. Ticket.
Oh, maybe you'll get some. Maybe you'll get some stock in the NASDAQ anytime soon.
You know, when you buy when the thing says like $977 million. Buy your ticket here, you should get the $977 million.
Right away. I mean, that should be, you know, I mean, otherwise it's kind of like false advertising.
Exactly. God damn okay. them, you know, screw them. But anyway, yeah, these people, it was not like Indiana Jones where they're like the Holy Grail and it has magical powers or the Ark of the Covenant that has magical powers. There's no real magic here. They were after it for
no temple of doom.
It was basically a bunch of thieves who were all trying to get this thing and were all after each other. And the private detective got in the middle of the mess and whatever, you know, but it was fun. And you know, you could guess some of the potential twists and turns that happened, but like, others, like, I mean, I didn't guess the exact way it was going to turn out. Like, I guessed parts of it, but like, you know, and maybe I'm just dumb. Maybe other people would have gotten it, but you know, anyway, it was fun.
We'll go with dumb for now.
Yes. Go with dumb. Dumb is usually a good descriptor of things.
Dumb's good. You know, I mean, what the hell? Sometimes we all need to be dumb sometimes.
Okay, with that, let's take a break.
With that.
And then when we get back from breaking, we will talk stuff.
And then, you know, if news breaks, we'll fix it.
Exactly. The newsy stuff coming up next. What was the other phrase? Oh, man. There's a show Alex has been watching, and the news people have like a little slogan that they use. Let's see if I can.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well, your memory, you know.
Yeah. Like I saw this stupid thing yesterday, but whatever. Okay. Here we go. Do you want to understand what is really going on with the presidential election cycle? Then go to electiongraphs.com right away. There you'll find charts and graphs covering the nomination processes in both parties and the general election race for Electoral College votes. For the delegate races, we track not just delegate totals, but also the ever-important analysis of how each candidate has to do with the remaining delegates in order to actually win. For the Electoral College, we track state-by-state poll averages to categorize which states are actually in play and which are not, in order to show you the range of likely electoral results and how that changes over time. Sure, you can get some of this stuff elsewhere, but not in exactly the same way, and not from me, Sam, your prime curmudgeon. I think my election trackers are better than the rest, so come look at mine, electiongraphs.com. Okay, Mr. Bo, it's your turn. What's the first newsy story of the I was going to say the night, the evening, but people could be listening to this at whatever time of day. So of the podcast.
Right, it could be. Yeah. Of the podcast. Well, by the time people going to be listening to this.
Yes.
Is Trump Tower going to be seized?
No.
You don't think so? Or in the process?
Well, look, I don't know how long it'll take people to listen to this thing. People could be listening to this thing in 20 years. But...
for the first people. By the time it's published. Okay, by the time it's...
It's published, I don't think so. Because unless I completely screw up this weekend, it'll be published before Monday. And Monday is Trump's dead.
Okay.
But also beyond that, it looks like Letitia James, first of all, there's a chance Trump will pull something out of his ass to pay off his bond before we get to Monday evening or whatever. So that's possible. But also, assuming he doesn't, and he doesn't declare bankruptcy or any of the other alternatives that he potentially has, Trump Tower isn't the first thing she would go after.
No, it's the golf course property something, I believe.
Yeah, here's the thing. Like, from what I understand, first of all, he's not the sole owner of Trump Tower.
Yeah.
You know, first of all, it's got condos in it. Like, individuals own their condo bits. But also, like, the only parts he apparently owns outright are, like, some of the businesses that maintain the services for the tower and his own condo in there. He leases the land under the tower. And, of course, other condo owners own their condos. So all of that makes it complex. Like, there are ways to deal with it, but it makes it complex. Letitia James, if she has to start taking stuff from Trump, she's going to start with the things that are liquid.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's going to go to things that he owns outright or is outright plus mortgages or something relatively simple. I heard somebody talking earlier today about this and saying, like, the last things they really want to hit are the things where, like, he's got a 15% stake or something, because those get to be complicated in terms of how you deal with them. Like, if you have to, you go after those, but, like, you start with the things that are easiest to get at with the least complications, and then you work your way towards more complicated things as you need to. That makes sense, right?
Yeah, I know that makes sense. That makes sense. But I think I mentioned Trump Tower for the hell of it.
Yeah.
But it really, you know, we will. I mean, there's already been movement, preliminary filings, things in order to, when the deadline hits, to start the process of
as quickly as possible. Stuff. Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, and some of the things that have been explicitly talked about in that reporting over the last 24 hours are, as you mentioned, there's like, I think, a golf course in Long Island, mm-hmm. and just like a big mansion that he has somewhere on Long Island it's Westchester. Is Westchester Long Island? I don't even know enough geography.
No, Westchester's not Long Island. No,
it's the part. It's the up. It's up from Long Island, north, and the other part of New York.
It's heading towards upstate New York. Yeah,
Okay. Anyway, whatever. So there are a couple properties like that are already like being worked on, and presumably they've got a whole bunch of bank accounts they can just go after too. Fuck the property.
Well, I mean, he said he has $500 million in cash.
Yeah,
he keeps saying this, which of course, you know, he went out and after his lawyers declared that he does not have the money, he goes and contradicts himself on social media saying he does have the cash.
Well, and here's why that's particularly stupid. Like, the thing where they said they don't have money was a petition to one of the appeals courts to say, can you please just lower the amount? Let us get away with giving you less, or give us more time or whatever, because we don't have it. That has not yet been ruled on.
He's going out and not to take the filing in public.
Yeah, so the whichever judges are going to look at this, who presumably are going to want to answer by Monday, are going to be like, oh, well.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's going out there and telling everybody he has the money, so why the hell should we believe you're sorry?
Apparently he has the money after all.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So, sorry, we're going to say no, because, you know, we would have considered it, maybe, but, you know, your client's out here saying he does have the money, so that's a more recent statement. Maybe he raised the money in between these two things. I don't know, but he says he's got the money, so let's not worry about it.
I mean, and so it brings us to the other thing that I was joking about earlier in terms of the value, in terms of his assets, which is his share in Truth Social and in the company that is the SPAC vehicle that basically is officially acquired Truth Social.
Is that how you say it? SPAC? I was always thinking it was just SPAC.
It's four letter SPAC, Special Purpose Acquisition Company. Yes, SPAC. Yeah.
Yeah, I know what it stands for. It's just I've always thought it was SPAC, not SPAC.
You know, almost every time that I've heard it on Bloomberg, I've heard it called an SPAC. But I could be wrong.
Okay, that makes sense. Like, I'll be honest, I have read it. I don't think I've heard too many people say it out loud, so.
I usually hear people say it all the time on business TV, and I've heard it pronounced repeatedly SPAC, so that's why.
Okay, I think SPAC is more fun.
I could be wrong.
Okay.
I mean, I could be wrong, but you know, that's what I've heard it called many times. So this became now official. Apparently, it got approved, and the hypothetical valuation of Trump's share is $3 billion. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now this officially it's been approved. It officially, like, the merger goes through like Monday or something, right?
Right. But here's the rub about this. Okay. Say Trump has all these shares in a brokerage account. Okay. So, for example, we've had people, like, for example, Elon Musk, when he went and he purchased Twitter, part of the money, he pulled it out on margin on one of his accounts that had stock in Tesla, because Tesla is a stock that is traded at one of the most liquid markets, like, I believe, in the NASDAQ. Okay. It's a company that the value of it, the requirements for margin loans, you can take out margin loans on it. They may have raised requirements recently for it. And usually stocks that are more volatile, They raise the margin, they raise the requirements of how much cash you have to keep in the account in order to cover any losses on something like that, or you know, how much equity, you know, how much you can borrow against it. Basically, they say, hey, you can borrow 70%, but you need to keep 30% cash in there against, you know, there needs to be 30% equity on, okay? And they may have raised it on some stocks like that. Some, they have that volatility. They're saying, no, you got to be 50, 60. But look, this is totally different. This account, you cannot borrow a dollar against any of these shares, okay? Because these shares are of a fucking penny stock, basically, that they are not really liquid on the margin, on the market. There are no market makers, because for a stock like Apple, you go to the market, you want to sell, there are people that make a market on Apple, and you can go on demand, basically sell all the shares of Apple that you want. You know, they cannot basically turn you down. However, for a stock like this, you go out and you offer, you know, $100 million worth of shares. If there are no takers, okay, the market's frozen. They will not, that order will not execute, okay? Until somebody shows up and buys those against you. And if they don't, what happens is you start going through a process of bid, you know, bid ask of the price, and the price will fucking plummet until basically you get somebody that wants to buy that many. And so his stock is not margin. He cannot borrow against it. So if he went to anybody and said and offered, hey, I have this, you know, these shares of this thing, okay, and I want to borrow against them, everybody will tell him, no, the valuation is bullshit. Because the valuation is based on a very small amount of shares that are available to trade. And what happens in these cases is that you get a whole bunch of people like, you know, can go in and bid up the price of that tiny amount of shares very quickly. And so that increases the value of the 99% of shares that aren't floating, okay? But it's because there are so few of them out there. It doesn't trade like an Apple or whatever that trades millions and millions of shares a day. So everybody in the bonds and everybody that I'm sure he went, he said, well, I'm going to get this money. I got this. This is happening, whatever, because this was known to have already been committed to happen. Like now we knew about this a while ago, but I'm sure he went to everybody and said, bullshit. No, that's the valuation of that. We have no guarantee what the hell that is. So therefore we cannot take that. So that's no salvation at this point, okay? Because a few people have been putting out there, oh, this is...
Let me add.
Yeah.
Even if he could do that, the conditions of this merger say he can't do it for 6 months.
That is correct. The conditions of the merger, there is a six-month lockup. So he cannot borrow against them. He cannot post them as collateral. He cannot sell them for 6 months. Yes. And that is...
Now, I have read... That basically
that's modifiable. That, I mean, that can be changed.
That's modifiable because, like, the people who would have to vote in order to modify it are all like in with Trump,
right?
So, like, they could decide to release him from that, but then you hit all the problems that you just said.
Yeah. So that's not a solution. He knows it's not a solution. It's just, I mean, it's
and,
not.
And look, I wanted to point out, like, you mentioned all the sort of logistics of, you know, low volume, blah 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 blah. Just completely aside from that, it's a crap business. There's no way in hell it's actually worth that much money.
Well, that's the other reason why you're going through this process. The business is shit. It's losing money. It's just garbage. Okay. And so therefore, this company is already burning through money. It's not doing very well. And so even though it has this ridiculously sky high valuation, the underlying business is shit. So yeah, that's also another problem to this. I mean, you know, we've talked about, well, could some Saudi billionaire show up and buy up the whole thing for $3.5 billion. Yes, I guess that's possible. Sure. I mean, but remember that he can't sell for 6 months. So, well, but then that means release the lockup and say, oh, but do whatever. And then give, just here, have $3 billion.
Well, and the other thing is, remember, every fucking thing Donald Trump is involved in right now also has a court monitor attached to it to make sure that he's doing whatever above board.
Right. And so that's also a problem.
Like he can't do jack shit without this retired judge in New York examining it and saying, yeah, that's okay to do.
Right. And so it's very complicated to do anything with any of those assets. And look, as we have said before, if any of the assets that he claims are worth all these billions of dollars, we're talking about the hard assets, like, you know, resorts, things or whatever. If they had all the equity that he claimed, that anybody objectively look at, then he should have been able to secure the bond without a problem. Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, he said he had $500 million in cash. That means to pony up another $50 million. Okay. And with the $50 million, to be able to post that as collateral. But what this means is, if 30 different bonding companies looked at anything that he produced and basically said, none of this is worth the bullshit money that you're saying. In part, probably because they're all mortgaged to their ass. And then because whatever the valuation that he gave them, because this is the whole point of the lawsuit, is that the law valuations were inflated.
Right. But according to Trump's statement to the court when he was claiming he couldn't do this, which, by the way, like we didn't say it explicitly, that was one of the events of this week, is Trump explicitly filing in court saying, I can't do this. This is nearly impossible. But like one of the things he said was of the 30 companies he went to, most of them just out of hand said, we're not even going to consider real estate. Sorry, we're not even, that's not on the table. We're not going to look at it. And then the ones, even the ones who were willing to consider the real estate came to the conclusions that you said. They're, you know, look, here's the fundamental thing. The particular case he is appealing is specifically about lying about how much his property is worth.
Exactly. And it's proving to completely to come to bite him in the ass, because everybody looked at this and is concluding what the court concluded, that everything he said about the value of his properties is complete shit. Because if he came up with a, insurance companies are businesses, okay? Mm-hmm. If he came up and brought him this, you know, say, I don't know, that golf course in Scotland.
Yeah.
And man, it's showing cash coming out the wazoo. Its revenues are great. It's got no mortgage. I mean, you're seeing, man, annual cash flow, $200 million. I mean, this thing is rock solid. Let me tell you something. Insurance company would have said, this looks good. Okay, I'll take the flyer. Okay, we'll do it. We'll guarantee the money. Okay, because they want to make money, because they're going to charge $50 million for this. Why the hell would they want to make the damn money? And oh, you've got a real asset to secure it. I'll look at it.
Here's one important thing. This is one important thing. This is not a bond for original trial either. It's a bond for an appeal.
It's an appeal bond. It's for an appeal.
And most appeals fail. And anybody looking at this particular case is like, yeah, he's probably going to lose it. So the other thing they have to think of is A, yes, they're going to.
Can I grab this? Can I grab this and sell it for what the fuck he's saying it's worth? Yes.
Yeah. Well, but they're going to charge the fee on top of it, which of course they want to make. But they're going to have exactly the same issues that New York would have if they start seizing this property, which is, they know, okay, he's going to lose this case, and then we're going to have to go after him to collect all the property, and that's going to be a pain in the ass and take us a while, and we're going to, and if some of these are in complicated situations with all kinds of mortgages and co-owners and blah, 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 then that's going to be a pain in the ass, and it's like, is our fee worth it to do all that shit to actually collect on this stuff, knowing also that, like, okay, at some point he may well declare bankruptcy. That's clearly a potential thing that's in the cards. And how does that complicate this?
Well, the only way, and that's what I said, but the only way is if his inflated valuations were real, then it wouldn't be a problem. Yeah. Because if I'm going to tell you, hey, Sam, I need to borrow $500 million. I'm going to post as a guarantee this thing that is worth $1 billion.
Right.
Okay. And you look at it, wow, it's really worth $1 billion. Okay. You would probably say yes. The problem is that nobody is looking at this shit and saying they're all coming to the conclusion it's worth nowhere. It's not worth the trouble, because it's not worth the trouble of seizing, because there is no way that we can we have a high probability of losing money. And they're just saying, no, forget it. Even with the fee, we're walking away. The hell with it.
Right.
So that's Trump's current situation in a nutshell. He's kind of like.
I mean, I know we've repeated this topic for the last few weeks, but it's getting exciting here, you know?
it's getting to the point of,
it's getting to the deadline.
Getting to the deadline. Yep.
As we speak right now, he's got like what, 2.5 days, something like that. I don't know exactly what time Monday. It's probably close of business Monday, right? That he has until. but
yes.
Yeah, so
yes.
I don't know, like we still have Donald Trump as usual has waited to the very last minute to deal with things. I had like TV news and on in the background while I was doing other stuff earlier, and someone, I have no idea who it was or even what channel it was on, but someone was saying like Trump and his whole personality is like, he can only really focus on something when it's imminent. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So like, he's probably not even thinking of like the criminal trial that's potentially next month. Right. That's like too far in the future. Like I don't know what's going on there. And he only really started focusing on like this $500 million thing that he had to deal with like a few days ago, you know, because up until then he was sure it wasn't really going to happen. Like he was going to appeal and they were going to be like, oh yeah, Mr. Trump, of course you don't really need to pay this here. Your counteroffer of 100. That's fine. You know? And, you know, of course they told him no. And he hadn't like prepared, like this goes back to, I don't know. It's all kinds of things. Like if at the moment, they gave him 30 days that they technically speaking did not have to give him 30 days. That was a courtesy. The purpose of that courtesy is get your shit together.
Right.
You know, if you have to sell stuff, sell stuff.
Right.
But of course he doesn't want to do that. And the reporting in the last couple of days is he doesn't want to do the bankruptcy either. Cause like rationally, well, the best thing for him to do would have been to settle this shit, you know, like a long time ago, you know,
yes,
rather than take it to court and lose. And like, he could have settled this for a much, much smaller dollar amount. Like,
yeah, but he decided to, you know, the thing is that Trump has during his life won so many of these just by wearing out other guys that he thought that would get him out of this.
Yep.
Okay. You know, that is really the thing. And so he has not been used to going into litigation against people that have as much, if not more, resources on their legal side to withstand his usual tactic of stalling and negotiating until they wear down and they settle.
Right.
And so all of a sudden you've got all these cases where that tactic didn't work, and he's gotten to the other side, and he is like a guy who doesn't know. It's like, you know, it's like a dog that caught the car finally, and he's like, you don't know what the hell to do with it.
Right. And so like the rational thing would have been to settle a long time ago. In the absence of settling in this situation is like, hey, Giuliani and Alex Jones both were like, yep, declaring bankruptcy right now. And if Donald Trump had done that, I mean, he, you know, it doesn't protect him from having to pay this,
which is delayed,
but it would potentially stretch it out over years. Like as you did,
yeah,
like, you know,
as it's happened to Alex Jones. Yeah. But here's the one thing, but that was recommended to him several times. And he decided that, well, that would be very harmful to my
campaign.
Current image,
yeah.
And campaign. And so I can't do that.
Yeah. So he's been telling his advisor, I can't declare bankruptcy. So we're basically in a situation that either he pulls some cash out of his ass that he got from who knows where in the next 48 to 72 hours, or Letitia James actually gets to start seizing shit, you know?
Oh, man. I mean, it will be. I will say this. I mean, I'm not discounting that he comes up with something somehow. I don't know how. Okay. But man, I mean, look, it's like we said, anybody who has been, and I mean, the only way to give him this money right now is basically if somebody went like gifted him the money.
Yes.
It literally.
I guess they could do a loan or something, couldn't they?
But a loan. Okay. And it's going to be repaid with what?
It's taxable no matter what.
Well, yeah, because but it's just a loan, but Sam, what's he going to repay it with?
Yeah, I know. it could be like a loan and a very good term loan, like zero interest over the next 30 years or some crap like that, you know?
No, that's true. But basically you've decided that you're never getting this money back anytime. So,
right.
I mean, it's, you know, you're going to put up this money right now to get nothing in return other than Trump's goodwill.
Right.
That's it. I mean, and is that worth really $500 million? I mean, from a guy that basically has figured out how to fuck everybody he's done business with, you think that the $500 million is going to buy even that? Hell, he'll think. I'll tell you what he'll think. And it just occurred to me. I mean, what am I so stupid? 30 years ago, when he was in talk with the banks and he owed him billions of dollars, you know what his thinking was? One of his big things was like, hell, I mean, I got him over a barrel. I mean, they loaned me billions of dollars. They need me more than I need them right now.
Right.
So who's got who over a barrel? And so he had no compunction of fucking over anybody he's done business with. So this will be fun next week.
It'll be regardless of what happens, even if Trump really does pull something out of his ass and put up the money on Monday. Like, it'll still be interesting, and we'll still be talking about, like, where the fuck did he get that from?
Right.
And we won't know, because he doesn't have to disclose, but, like, there'll be lots of speculation on that. Or we get to see the fun of Letitia James going through the process of taking shit. And, you know...
By the way, I'll tell you one thing. Bad news for Donald and his, like, how much was his stake? $3.5 billion?
Yeah.
I saw that the stock is now down 14%.
Yes, I saw that too. I'm sure it'll go down lots more before his 6 months are up, for sure.
I mean, that's usually what happens in these cases. That's the reality.
Yeah.
Well, again, this shows you why nobody's really wanting to front money against this.
Yeah. Now, what I do wonder for next week is, you know, how much of this we will see, how fast will it move? Because there are some legal steps that Letitia James has to do, and it's not instant. And, you know, some of it may be done quietly. Some of it may not be done quietly. Like you may see, like, people walking up to Trump Tower. Like, maybe she does take Trump Tower after all, even though all the things I said at the beginning, like, if you want to send a statement, you fucking take Trump Tower.
You know? Well, that's true. I'll tell you one thing that just occurred to me. I saw somebody doing a post saying, well, what's to stop Elon Musk and these guys from talking up the stock? Well, I just thought of another diabolical thing. Well, what's to stop a bunch of from shorting this fucker into oblivion?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Get somebody like Michael Bloomberg or somebody. Stake out a short position. Just put a couple. Just short the fucker. Just whatever. You know. And actually, he doesn't even have to short that many shares, because, like I said, there's not that much float. You go and, like, you fucking short, like, you know, you put $50-100 million and you short this thing, you're imploding the stock like in a heartbeat.
Right.
That's not a bad idea. Shit.
Okay.
What? You don't like me torpedoing, like, coming up with a diabolic plan to torpedo the valuation of, like, you know.
Go right ahead, Yvonne. Set it up on Monday, you know.
There you go. Okay.
Do your stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So. I didn't win the lottery ticket, so I can't help you, but, you know.
I mean, that would have been a good investment. I mean, you know, put $100 million up, like, you know, at least to start. Hey, let's torpedo Trump's company.
Okay, let's take a break before we do a topic from me, and then we'll be right about the right length of the winner. It'll be good enough. Exactly. Here's a break.
Do, do, do! This podcast is sponsored by AlexMzilla.com. Alex Mzilla is great. It's on YouTube. And it has lots of fun videos.
Alex Emsola is awesome and great.
I love his videos, and they are obviously better than Curmudgeon's Corner.
Well, they're funnier. They're more interesting.
And frankly, he seems at least a little smarter than either of the hosts of Curmudgeon's Corner.
Honestly, it's ridiculous how endlessly talented and phenomenal Alex Emsola is.
That's how great his YouTube channel is.
AlexMxEla.com.
Yes. Do.
Okay, we are back. So before I announce my chosen topic, let me just rapid fire go through a whole bunch of things I didn't pick. Okay.
Okay. Tell me the things you didn't pick. Okay.
So we could be talking about Haiti.
We could be talking about Haiti.
We could be talking about Kate Middleton.
Ah, yeah.
We could be talking about Navarro going to jail.
Well, we just did. I mean, that's all there is to say. Navarro, he's in jail. Hi, buddy.
We could be talking about Manafort potentially coming back to run the Republican convention. We could be talking about the...
Oh, God.
We could be talking about the Judge Cannon in Florida keep pushing things out and making decisions that are very much in Trump's favor. We could be talking about Trump's bloodbath comment. We could be talking about Lev Parnas testifying in front of Congress and once again blowing away all the Hunter Biden bullshit. You know, we could be talking about the Apple antitrust thing.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is kind of thing I would throw in the butt first if I didn't have a movie, which is I've been having all kinds of spam things and I've been messing with spam filters.
I thought you meant the meat.
Well, no, not the meat. Like email spam on one case, and the 2 second version of it is I actually went and looked in my spam folder yesterday, and half my spam folder was actually mail I wanted.
Nope.
And meanwhile, there was a lot of spam showing up in my inbox anyway. And it was like almost random.
No, oh, God.
So I actually went to my mail provider and just fucking turned up.
Did you declare mail bankruptcy?
No, I did not declare mail bankruptcy, but I turned off the spam filters entirely. I'm like, okay, I can deal with some extra spam getting into my inbox, but throwing things I want into my spam folder, I can't do.
No bueno.
And also, not only that, I went through and located a bunch of mail I actually wanted in my spam folder and moved it to my inbox, and the damn fucking thing moved it back.
Oh, God, Jesus.
And so I just turned it all off. I turned it all off, and I'm going to have to figure out how to deal with that. And also political spam via texts is really getting on my fucking nerves. But that's enough of that. We also could talk about the Moscow attack, but not going to talk about that.
No. Okay.
So what's left?
Congress.
Fun in Congress. Exactly. So first of all, we got a couple things. We have them trying to avert a shutdown again. And earlier today, the House actually passed the funding bill that would fund the government through September. Great. Now, it's what got Johnson in trouble, and we'll talk about that in a second, because it was most of the Democrats plus some of the Republicans, and there were some Democrats on the other side too, and lots of Republicans against it, but they passed. They had to get a two-thirds majority to pass because they were suspending the rules, blah, 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 but they got it, okay? And so it went through the House. Right now, as we are recording, and it is what? It's just after midnight on the East Coast. And they are still working in the Senate. I saw during our last segment, Majority Leader Schumer says they have a deal on funding the government, and they will have the vote still before they close up business for the night. So it might be one of these 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. things, but they're going to have a vote, and I guess they think it's going to pass. So we're probably going to avoid a government shutdown, although who knows, it may still fall apart in the end, and if so, you guys listening will know, and we don't. But the fun, exciting parts relate to, because Speaker Johnson let this funding deal to not shut down the government come to a vote, Marjorie Taylor Greene decided she is done with him. This is ridiculous that he has allowed this to happen. He broke all kinds of promises, not only bringing this up, but not giving him enough time to read the bill and all kinds of other stuff. And so she has filed the motion to vacate the chair, which would potentially put us right back in this cycle of like, oh shit, we have to find a new speaker. But she has filed it with the clerk or whatever, but she hasn't actually brought it to the floor yet. Apparently there are multiple stages. So it's sort of declaring her intent to do this, but not having actually done it yet.
Okay.
And the House is going to go on a 2-week recess now. And so basically she said, she had a little press conference after she did this. And she's like, I don't intend to throw the House into the same kind of chaos it had last time, but we need a new speaker. Consider this a warning shot, but we need a new speaker. We're going to have to figure out a new speaker. So basically, and she says she's got enough support that to do this. Now, of course, that's assuming like the Democrats once again vote to vacate the chair as well. Right. And then her plus a few Republicans would be enough to put it over the majority. And then we'd be in the speaker search again. But she could have brought it to the floor today. And we could already be in this craziness. But it looks like it's going to be after the recess. And from the way she was talking, it's unclear exactly when or if even she will pull that trigger, because it could be interpreted as a, okay, Johnson, I'm serious. Don't do even one more thing. And specifically the one more thing would probably be Ukraine funding.
Mm-hmm.
If you put Ukraine funding on the table, I will shut you down right there. Or like, it's just unclear. She's leaving her options open, and she's probably also going to use the 2 weeks to try to get more support and maybe line up some people even for, okay, if we do this, who are we going to try to get to be speaker instead? Like, because you kind of have to answer that question.
What do you mean? It's not like we had an answer before.
Well, no, but
I mean,
in the end, you have to answer the question.
I agree, but
yes, I know. Of course, and she's an idiot. So,
wait, yeah,
yes.
So what are you talking about? I mean,
yes. So here are a couple of additional complications here, though.
Just a
couple. One. We had an additional House Republican announce they are leaving the House.
But let's be clear. He did so once again as a few House. There's been a couple.
Yes,
at least
there've been a few recently.
But there's been a couple that have done it in the most spiteful way possible.
Yes, and this is no exception.
And this one is no exception. I mean, according to I found this out from you. Okay, I'm gonna quote Sam.
Yes. So let me give the thing, and I heard a reporter talking about this. So again forget who they were, but like, here's the deal. Apparently, this guy's where, from Michigan? The guy who's doesn't matter.
Come on.
Apparently he's in a district where probably they would reelect another Republican. I mean, you never know for sure, but probably they would reelect another Republican. So like, if you just had them leave, them hold a special election, you end up right back where you left off.
Right.
But here's the thing. he did not resign effective immediately. He said, I resign effective 2 weeks from now. And the interesting thing is apparently in his state, there is an April 2nd transition point. If there is an opening in the House before April 2nd of an election year, then there is a special election. It gets scheduled right away, and there's a special election, and somebody gets elected and takes up that spot. However, after April 2nd, there is no special election. The seat just stays vacant until you have the regular old elections in November and the new person takes office in January.
Isn't that lovely?
And just coincidentally, I guess, at this exact moment in time, right now we are below, before April 2nd, but 2 weeks from now is after April 2nd.
What a coincidence.
And so he, by saying he is resigning in 2 weeks, he is guaranteeing that the Republicans cannot replace him this session, this term.
I mean, he basically said, oh, you know what? Fuck you. This is not a GOP. And oh, I'm going to make it hurt.
And with him gone, as well as the other empty seats we have right now, the Republicans are down to only being able to lose one vote on a party line vote.
That's it.
One vote. Because if they lose one vote, they end up with a tie, and you can't pass things with a tie. You have to have an actual majority.
Well, one thing I wanted to mention as well about this is that this isn't the only guy that did this. I think we mentioned earlier when the guy who resigned in Colorado, okay?
Right.
That was taken, the Boebert, where Boebert wanted to run in his district. So the guy went and he announced his retirement and then he resigned. And apparently by doing so, did so where it basically made it that MTG couldn't run for the seat, basically.
No, not quite. He can't run in the primary. In the special election. So what he set up is...
In the special election, that's right.
Right. So Boebert was planning to run in November for that guy's seat.
Right.
But because he left early, there's going to be a special election. She can't run in the special election because she's already in Congress right now, unless she also resigns.
She resigns, right.
And the main point about... And then whoever wins the special election has a leg up for November.
Exactly. And that's the point. And that's the reason why it was like basically sticking it to her, because that guy, you know, she can't run a special election. And that guy, whoever wins, is going to have a leg up on him. And that district where she was going, it wasn't a slam dunk for her. It might have been a slam dunk for the Republican, but not for her.
Yeah.
So it just seems like all of these resignations lately have been like at this theme. Hey, let me do it in a way that I am like needling one of these assholes. Hell, what's his name? McCarthy's resignation.
Right.
You know, the Speaker's resignation. That one also was a kick in the balls, too.
Yeah. Now, and so where we end up here is like 2 weeks from now, we'll be in that one vote margin situation. And because the Republicans will probably gain a couple MAC because there are a couple special elections already scheduled that they're likely to win. So that margin will probably grow again after a little while. But we will be in that one vote scenario 2 weeks from now, which is when MTG could pull the trigger on this thing. And if you remember, even with a four vote margin, they had a shitload of a hard time coming up with a speaker. Both in the McCarthy situation and in the Johnson situation, it was like that nearly impossible for them to agree. They finally, like in the McCarthy situation, they finally sort of wore down the opposition and like Gates decided not to vote and stuff like that. In the Johnson situation, they were just fucking tired. They knew they looked like idiots and eventually were like, okay, fine. Whatever. Let's do this.
Well, one thing you're saying that they could listen. Some of these losses that we've got, we haven't expected them right now. Mm-hmm. The reality is that you say, well, they're going to gain some in the special elections. Look, the thing is, their trend has been all going in the wrong direction. Okay?
Yes.
And they keep getting people like that are resigning, you know, that are making it, oh, shit, this guy resigned. Oh, shit, this guy resigned. Oh, shit, this guy resigned. And they're like, you know, they're one guy being in the hospital.
Right. Made the difference on that vote a while back. Yeah.
Yeah. Literally. I mean, at this point, it's crazy that it's down to that.
Right. Now, and most of the resignations have been in solid Republican states that are very unlikely to flip to the Democrats. But, and we're getting to the point, like with this one, that they're not going to have a special election. They'll just wait for November anyway. You know, in which case, you know, they can't afford to lose any more.
Well, the problem is that the impact is that it doesn't matter that they are. The impact right now in many of these cases has been the same. It's been one where, you know, he had to maneuver the way he just had to maneuver to get this bill through because he just doesn't have the votes at all.
Well, and this is one of the reasons MTG is upset, right? Because the last few things that Johnson has done, I mean, the only things that he's been able to do are these must-pass bills, and the only way to do them is with the Democrats.
That's right.
You know, this last one didn't even have a majority of the Republicans. It's not even like there were just a few Republican holdouts or whatever. This was most of the Democrats and some Republicans, which, I mean, if you remember, we've talked about this going back like more than a decade now. Like whenever the Republicans have the House, this is how things actually end up getting done. When we come to like these spending standoffs,
is look, there's a reason why John Boehner is like, yep, you know, enjoying a cigar and having wine at home, because he said, okay, I'm done with the terrorist groups.
Yeah. So now here's the other complication and why people are talking like Boebert's thing may backfire. Because there are a couple possible ways.
Green.
Oh, sorry. Green. Yeah.
Okay.
You got me thinking about the other one. I don't know.
Oh, sorry. Anyway,
you know, I know they hate each other,
yeah,
but well, like so. They occupy a similar mental space in my head.
Isn't it amazing how these people, because they are such evil double crossers that they even wind up hating each other?
Yes. Anyway, here's the thing. First of all, there's now a lot of talk with the Democrats of like, you know, we'll save him. If she brings this up, we can save him. Now,
because basically you're sticking it to her too.
You're sticking it to her, but also like Johnson's been giving the Democrats. I mean, it's not like it's not like he's doing the same thing a Democratic speaker would do, but he's making sure the must-have things are passing.
Yep. Yep.
And so the Democrats are, you know, I've heard going back a month that the Democrats were seriously considering that, hey, as long as he's making sure the must-have things happen, we'll save his ass. You know, because if all the Democrats plus a handful of Republicans vote to keep him, because the motion to vacate the chair triggers a yes-no vote. Do we keep the speaker? And if all the Democrats vote to keep him, then he stays. But, and so I've heard a few things. One, I heard the story going back at least a month that said, as long as he keeps allowing these things to come to a vote and the must-have things are happening, we'll keep him. It's better than throwing because we need to have those things happen. It's better than, right, better than throwing the House into chaos again. More recently, I've heard about making an explicit trade.
Ukraine funding.
For Ukraine funding, exactly. And saying, we will support you on this as long as you make the Ukraine aid happen. Like, bring it to a vote. Because this is another one of those things that there's a group of Republicans at this point who are diehard against it. And they're mostly the ones that are closely aligned with Donald Trump. Although, well, at this point, most of the Republicans are closely aligned right. with Donald Trump, but there are some that are even more so than others. But right. there's this group of Republicans that is in the minority, but there's a, who feel very strongly no more aid to Ukraine. But if you just put this on a vote for the whole House, it would clearly pass.
Oh yeah,
it would pass by a significant margin with almost all of the Democrats and probably more than half of the Republicans.
Hmm.
And so, you know, so it's just bring this to the table. But then in the direct aftermath of Marjorie Taylor Greene putting this on the table, I think it was CNN had an interview with some Democratic House member who they asked, you know, would you support Johnson if this came? And he's just like, yes.
Yes.
He didn't even mention any conditions. He's like, look, they're going after him because he did the right thing.
Yeah.
And so this is not a good reason to kick out a speaker, my party or not. I would vote to keep him. And given the close nature of the thing, you only need a few Democrats saying that. Now, I personally feel like if the Democrats are going to bail out Speaker Johnson, they should get something in return.
Yeah, I agree. 100%. They got,
you know, they should not give it. They should not do it for free.
You got to get a couple of things, you know, not be too greedy, but like the Ukraine funding, maybe a couple of other things. That's it. You know, to say, listen, you pass these two, three things through the end of the year and, you know, we'll save your ass. OK.
And look, this also, by the way, yeah, because people are like, well, why give Johnson the win? Why keep him in power? Wouldn't it, if the Republicans completely fall apart and can't pick a speaker for the rest of the fucking year or something, isn't that good for us? Like in the election?
No, it's going to shut down the government. It causes quite a lot of problems. No, it's watching the country burn just because you think it's advantageous to.
Yes, us. Exactly. I was going to say, it's one of those things where even if you're right that it would help you politically, it's still the wrong thing for the country.
Yeah.
You know, because it actually is a negative effect to have that dysfunction. So if you can make it function, great. But also, just think of the scenario. Johnson gets to keep being speaker only because the Democrats say so.
No, you gotta love it.
That's not gonna be like, I mean, he's already probably the weakest fucking speaker that's ever existed, given his precarious situation. But that would make him even weaker.
And the only one whose porn is monitored by his son.
Yes, exactly. But no, but the deal would be like for the rest of his speakerhood, you know, or at least till the next election, he's beholden to the fucking Democrats.
Yeah.
Like at any moment, the Republicans could try to kick him out again, and the only people saving him are the Democrats.
Yep.
And it's just like, you gotta be kidding me. Like that would be so hilarious to watch play out.
All right, I'll tell you. I'll throw at him. Listen, let's pass the border deal. Let's pass the Ukraine funding, and we're good. You can stay.
Man, we'll see how that. I'm a little bit frustrated that that MTG didn't pull the trigger right away and is instead waiting at least 2 weeks to do it, because it would be amusing to watch it play out like right now. Like, but okay, we gotta wait. But now the other thing, and I just want you know, you've been bringing up on our Curmudgeon's Corner Slack.
Yes.
So I feel like we have to talk about it a little bit, even though it seems still unlikely, is that with all of this going on and the Republicans down to a one vote margin, all you fucking need is like two defectors.
Yeah, we're done.
And you could have a Democratic speaker. You could have Hakeem Jeffords in place. One person
Jeffries.
One person defects, or one person gets sick. You know, like you said, one person in the hospital made a difference before. You could have one person, one or two people, like, get sick and they have to stay home, and suddenly you have a Democratic speaker. Now, if they knew it would be temporary, like, you know, oh, okay, this is only going to last 2 weeks or something. I don't know how much the Democrats could get done in 2 weeks if they tried to do that shit. Maybe it wouldn't be worth it, but it would be hilarious. You know, I don't think there's going to be a defection like that. I mean, I guess you never know if somebody gets sick or gets hit by a truck or something. You know, who knows what would happen? But, like, it would be absolutely hilarious if simply through attrition and Republican representatives resigning and lowering the margin each time that suddenly the Democrats get to take over for a little bit. You know, I'm not predicting it. I don't think it's probably going to happen, but we're right on that edge where any little thing that the Republicans are such idiots in how they handle this. And they're so at war with each other right now that, like, all it takes is a miscalculation and the Democrats could just jump on that.
Yep. Absolutely.
And you know, I've seen, while we've been sitting here, I saw someone on Mastodon speculate, you know, all you need is you have that one defector in the House, and then you kill the filibuster in the Senate, and you just ram through a whole bunch of shit.
Well, kill the filibuster. I thought you were going to say we're going to kill one of the
Congress. No, I am not suggesting changing the balance of power through assassination.
Secret Service, we are not suggesting any of that. we are just joking. Thank you.
No, that would be bad.
Well, what happened to the presidential? Well, what if the presidential immunity thing comes in? If Trump is right, then, you know, I mean, Biden could just, you know, hire his hit squad that could go and, like, commit all his crimes.
Yes. Yes, of course.
I mean, we'll get the, finally, we'll get the imperial president so many are wishing for.
So many. Well, unfortunately, a lot of people apparently are, but.
Yes, they are. I still am remembering that there was, when I worked out at this gym years back, where I went usually at the end of, after work, where I was working at an office 9 to 5, I would go from the office, go to the gym. And almost every time as I was, like, on this machine, they had a number of TVs where they were showing, like, CNBC, whatever. And there was this one guy who bought on, I think it was one of those local cable ads.
Okay.
Company called Stansberry Research. Okay. Now, sounds sexy. Okay. Stansberry Research. Wow. This guy ran an ad nonstop every day saying how Obama was plotting a takeover of the presidency into that, and he was going to turn it into an imperial presidency, that he's going to stay in power forever.
Right.
And not leave office. Okay. And that was his shtick, you know, how he was selling, I don't know, some kind of, like, survivalist portfolio investment strategy. I guess you had to buy gold or some shit like that or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Right, of course.
Or and whatnot. And, you know, the funny thing, I bring that up about the imperial presidency, is just, this is what these guys are talking about. I'm like, but the reality is it comes so much down to projection. Because they wanted an imperial president that was for their MAGA horse shit, whatever. But they kept claiming Obama was trying to be the imperial president.
Well, yes, it's projection in the sense of this is how they think, and they can't imagine that somebody else would think about it some other way.
Correct. Yeah.
You know, it's like, what do you mean if you're in charge, you're not going to do everything you can to direct money at yourself and take advantage of every power possible and blah, blah, blah. Like the idea that some people are actually there because they are trying to do good for the public as a whole just doesn't even occur to them. Because, like, why would anybody be stupid enough to do that?
Well, here it is. I just looked up if they're still around. Yeah, they still have a website. The main thing on the front page. And, yeah, I was right about gold. Here, let me see. A billionaire's case for gold 1.0. What's the other? I never thought a gold bug was a fair term. Like I told you, it's all about gold. I don't know. It's gold. Somehow the gold is going to solve everything.
Yes, of course.
Okay, so anyway.
Okay, so we'll see if... I'm assuming the Senate is going to pull this through and we won't have a government shutdown at this point, at least not till September. Because, of course, you can't kick this down the road too far. We got to have another crisis right before the election. You know, so...
Yeah, I mean, it's very important to have a crisis right before the election because that's the way it works. You want the October surprise.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we'll get to September, and then they'll push it off a week or two at a time, and then suddenly we're going to have a government shutdown debate right in the middle of October. And of course. But I they'll probably pull it out. Maybe there'll be a surprise, officially. Just to be clear. Officially, funding for parts of the government actually expired 36 minutes ago as we were recording. But the government agency involved in planning for a shutdown has paused because it looks like the Senate's going to come through.
Yes, that is correct.
So
that's what I just said. Yep.
So I guess officially... we actually are in a partial government shutdown right now, but if the Senate comes through as expected, it's going to be one of those deals where, officially we ran out of funding for a few hours in the middle of the night, but no one cared because by the time people came back to work Monday morning or whatever,
everything is fine.
Or even Saturday morning by the time they come in, they're not actually going to close anything because, the next couple of weeks are going to be fun. We got all the Donald Trump liquidation stuff. We also have the hearing on Monday about the New York criminal trial on how much it needs to be delayed. It was already delayed at least 30 days to the middle of, to April 22nd or so. But it was scheduled to start March 25th. Which is Monday, but it was pushed back 30 days to late April. It may be pushed back more depending on the results of the conference they're having Monday. And so we will probably know exactly how far back that trial is or is not pushed back by the time we talk next week. And I'm sure all kinds of other chaos. There's always chaos. Yeah.
Chaos.
Okay.
Chaos! We're the agents of chaos!
Wasn't that like one of the cartoon villains in something?
Maxwell Smart. To Maxwell Smart. Agent 88.
Oh, is Maxwell Smart was chaos. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, Inspector Gadget was based on Maxwell Smart. So, there's also that. Although, they changed the name of the bad guys.
They said we got somebody living in our condo that's like that they say is Inspector Gadget kind of. He looks like him a little bit. I do admit that once the person told me.
Does like a robotic umbrella come out of his head?
Almost.
Okay.
Yeah, he's Mr. Gadget. Yeah, he's got a whole bunch of gadgets like that. Yeah.
Excellent. I need more of those myself, I guess.
Yeah, we'll get that going for you.
Anyway, this is a little shorter than some of our shows, but we're in our target range, so we should just wrap it up.
We are in the range.
Unless you have something else you want to get off your chest, Yvonne.
I'm freezing.
You're freezing? Because it's raining and in the 60s.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, whatever. Okay, let's wrap it up. The usual things for the end of the show. Go to... not Election Graphs. You can go to electiongraphs.com as well, but no, go to curmudgeons-corner.com and there you can find our archives going back a long time. And you can find links to our email, our Facebook, our Mastodon, all that kind of stuff. You can get in touch with us, leave us messages, tell us what you think, whether it's good, bad, indifferent. And you can also find, of course, a link to our Patreon, where since I did not win $1 billion tonight, you can send it to me instead. Yeah. Sounds fair?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sounds fair. Sir.
You know, and Patreon is a monthly service where you say you're going to donate monthly. So $1 billion a month is fine. You know, that works for me.
Works for everybody.
Yes, exactly.
Well, we'll get it done.
Anyway, at various levels of our Patreon, well below $1 billion, we will mention you on the show. We will ring a bell. We will send you a postcard. We will send you a mug, all these kinds of fun things. And at $2 a month or less, or if you just ask us, we will invite you to our Curmudgeon Score Slack, where Yvonne and I and a bunch of our listeners are chatting throughout the week and sharing news links and just generally having fun. The more the merrier. We would love more of you to join. So Yvonne, what is one thing from the Curmudgeon's Corner Slack this week that is exciting and interesting and would make people want to join that we have not mentioned on the show at all?
Well, let me see. I'm trying. Okay, here. Yeah, it's my favorite. Spring Break's hottest shot comes with a slap to the face. Axios Miami. Spring Breakers are lining up to get slapped in the face by a South Florida bartender whose $30 hurricane shots have become the hottest ticket in town. So you go to this place, and this person goes and takes a pitcher of something, drops it on your head, and then you take a shot of alcohol, some drink that she makes, and then she slaps you in the face and charges $30 a pop. Apparently, you know, the man has been crazy. She apparently is making about $6,000 a day.
Nice.
Like right now.
Nice.
And she is basically, look, she's wearing a bikini while doing this. She's actually looks very good. But look, I'll say, look, I'm giving her total credit for her entrepreneurship, because this is what she does. She wanted to live on a sailboat.
Okay.
She's making $6,000 a day doing this. She's working 2 months a year. And basically spending the rest of the year cruising and being able to live off the fact that she's in think about it, 6,000 for 60 days. She's making $360,000. She's making almost $400,000 in 2 months.
Beautiful.
And then she's going and like taking off and just, you know, relaxing the rest of the year. He's a fucking genius.
If anybody wants to pay me $30 to slap them, just let me know. I will happily do it. I will even wear a bikini. Okay, no way. Maybe for the bikini version, you need to pay $100. You know, just a little bonus on top of that. But
$150, and we'll do it naked. There you go. Okay, there you go. That way, you know.
Okay. Sure.
sure.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
So let me, here's the description exactly. Right. She dumps a first, you know, she goes, bartender Ayana Callas has built, you know, selling her signature slap shots, liquor chased with a wet smack across the face as her alter ego, Hurricane Ayana, dumps a pitcher of water on the drinker's head.
Beautiful.
It's genius. I got to give her credit. She's freaking genius. I mean, especially, you know, look, she's slapping dumbass spring breakers. You know, look, I've seen these people. I want to slap them in the face every day. I mean, she gets to do it and charges them for it. It's great.
Hey, look, if you can get away with this shit, more power to you.
Absolutely. 100%.
No notes. Like, you know, like you said, working for 2 months a year.
Yeah.
Making a goddamn good living for it and getting to spend the rest of the year on your boat. And the job you do is slapping idiots.
Yes. Slapping idiots. It's going, Jesus. It's literally a public service. And on that note.
Okay. On that note, we are done. Hey, as usual, you know, there are some phrases that I just say way too much. As usual is one of those.
As usual. Well, it's usual.
You know, but there are others. There are others, but as usual is one of them. Anyway, have a great week, everybody. Stay safe. Enjoy the news. I'm sure there'll be some fun stuff before we speak again. And yeah, stay safe. Have a great week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Okay, that's it. I'm hitting stop.
Stop. Stop, stop, stop.